So folks, we have some special guests with us this morning. We have Phil and Donna Williams. I mentioned they are native Nova Scotians. They're from Bridgewater. And God put a big dream upon their heart a number of years ago. Servants Heart Ministries, missions in the Dominican Republic. And they have seen so much ministry, so many things happen. God has opened so many doors for them over the years that they have been in the Dominican Republic. Mandy and I went on a missions trip to Dominican in 2008 with, and that is when we first met them. And we really loved their missions philosophy. They work with the people and empower the people. They don't step in and take over, and that is part of their philosophy. And another really great thing that we really appreciated was the ministry in the local churches that they allowed us to be present for. There was one particular church in a little village, I believe it was called Batania, Pastor Willie and Elizabeth. It was about as big as the woodshed in my parents' backyard. Had no power. They fired up a generator in the back. And then they told me when it came time for preaching, "You're a pastor, preach!" I'm like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. But I shared some things that were on my heart. And then the church gathered around and they prayed. And did they ever pray? The joy of the Lord, despite their circumstances, was present. And Mandy and I were having difficulty having children at that time. We'd been married 5 years, and we wanted to have children. As you can tell, you know the end of the story. We have plenty. But we were having difficulty at that time, and the pastor's wife, Elizabeth, and her husband, Willie, gathered around Mandy and I, and Elizabeth laid her hand on Mandy's stomach, and they prayed in Spanish. It could have been tongues for all we knew. They prayed in Spanish. We were praying in English, and that was March break 2008. Ben was born December 1st, 2008. And we found out the very next month after we got home that Mandy was pregnant for Benjamin. And so Phil and Donna and I always have that conversation. They have Dominican babies everywhere. Their missions people come down, come home, and find out that, you know, there's babies being born. And so it's been great to work with Phil and Donna over the years and to get to know them, to see the ministry they're doing. They're going to share with you a little bit of their ministry, a little bit of their story and their journey to this. And then they're going to share a little bit, I believe, about a fundraising campaign between Mother's Day and Father's Day that they have, that they're working on as well for some particular projects. So let's give a warm Evangel Assembly welcome to Phil and Donna Williams.
Thank you, Pastor Nathan, and yes, it has been. I couldn't believe when you said it was 10 years that you were down in the Dominican, and it has been a very incredible journey. Thank you for allowing us to come today and share with you our ministry and what's happening. As Pastor Nathan said, that we're from Bridgewater. Just regular lay people that sat in a church every Sunday and had regular jobs and stuff. And so you're asking, how did you end up in the Dominican Republic? Well, in 2004, there was a lady that came to our church and started coming to our church, and she decided she wanted to do a missions trip. So my husband and I talked about it, and he wanted to go. So we said, okay, you're going to go. And long story short, we ended up both going because someone else wasn't able to make the trip. And it was an eye-opening experience for both of us. But what was very interesting, they were planning to go, and he was making all the plans. I only had a week's notice, which is always good for me. I said to my husband, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if you said to me when you got back, pack your bags, we're going to go down for a year. Guess what his response was? No way. No way. We are not doing this. This trip is not changing our lives. No way. I'm going down. I'm going to build something. I'm going to come back. And that's it. Well, we made our trip down March 2005, and in September 2005, we moved. So in the Bible, it doesn't say Phil knows the plans he has for us. The Bible says, God says, I know the plans I have for you, in Jeremiah. It has been quite a ride. Please excuse the crying. I do it all the time. This is why I don't usually speak. But up until 2016, we have pretty much lived full-time down in the Dominican, only coming home on short times to tell people about what we're doing and the experiences we're having. It's, if I say it, was a giant learning curve for us. We didn't go to the Dominican to start our own ministry. We went down to work with people and work with the Dominicans and help them out. We're just regular people. Like Nathan said, we just regular. Phil is a journeyman carpenter, and he was working in sales at the time when we went down. I was teaching piano in my own studio and just living our life. But it's amazing how God can use any one of us. Any one of you. It doesn't mean that you have to go to the Dominican. It doesn't mean that you have to go far away. But he can put a burden on your heart for people. And he can use you. It's amazing what happens when we surrender our lives to God. And surrender ourselves to him. And I can just see him up there going, yeah, just wait and see what I can do with you. You just wait. And then sometimes I think he says, just wait and see what I can do in spite of you. So we embarked on this amazing journey, not having any idea what God had planned. Sounds exciting, right? How many of us stepped out not having any idea what was going to happen in the end? It is quite amazing. So I'm going to let Phil go from here, and he's going to tell you a little bit more about some stuff.
Well, of course, I remember things slightly differently, but, you know, it's amazing, you know, when you hear the voice of God, and, you know, interestingly, the voice of God sometimes sounds like my wife. But, no, it has been an amazing journey, and I was sharing with somebody the other day, you know, if you're called of God to do something, you really need to follow through. Now, you get this sense of, you know, I really think I should do this, but then out of whatever reason, fear or trepidation or what have you, sometimes you feel like you kind of push that feeling down, and after a while it goes away, and, you know, and go about living your quote unquote normal life, and you know, that seems in the distant past. The only thing I would say is this, is that if you do that, you really don't know what God has for you and where he could have taken you. And Don and I have been involved and seen some amazing things the last 12 plus years. And even before that, because before that we were in preparation. We just didn't know it. But we've seen some amazing things happen, and we're going to share about some of those things this morning with you. The next slide you're going to see is a really amazing Dominican couple. And we're going to, look at that. Listen. Heidi has been amazing. Everybody needs a Heidi, okay? I'm telling you right now. this is Rebecca and Dario and their children, Dariel and Mariel. They're the people that are running the day-to-day operations on the ground while Don and I are here in Canada. And that's an amazing couple that are called by God to do an amazing work for him. Most of the staff that we have, with the exception of one other global worker, are all Dominicans and Haitians. And we believe strongly in that, because when you have people in your native community working with their fellow country people, I mean, that is just, that breaks down barriers. It gives you an instant into the community. They don't look at you as somebody from away that's trying to tell them what to do or how to do it, but they look at somebody as their fellow country person that is just somebody who they can trust and who they know, and there's a quantity there that really helps us in the work that God has given us to do. We're going to show you a video now. This is from about a couple of weeks ago when Evangeline Dartmouth was down with their mission team. And this is Wendy, a lady that was on the mission team, and she's going to talk about her experience while she was there. Wendy was down with Evangeline Dartmouth, and she had a really good week. And we host a lot of mission teams. And matter of fact, I had a gentleman this morning already inquiring as to what it would be to bring a mission team down. So just a heads up there, Pastor, there could be a potential team in the future. And if you're interested in coming down and working alongside of us and our staff and the people there, then you're more than welcome to. We have hosted teams and a lot of teams. In this next picture, I dug this up out of our archives. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you recognize who that is or not. But he had a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm. This young guy. And then we in the next slide you'll see how he kind of refined it a little bit and felt that a wheelbarrow might be a little bit more efficient. So.
So he has experience with cement work. Just saying.
Donna is going to talk to you now a little bit about Donica's Dream, one of the programs that we have that is doing just amazing work with some of the young women in the community there. So go ahead, Donna.
As Wendy mentioned in the video, that we have a pregnancy resource center. Our center is a little different than what we would hear. Look at a pregnancy center that has resources and stuff, and you go for immediate help. Ours is based on education. And we're going to talk about a few of our programs that we do in the Dominican. And all of our ministry and all of our programs are based on providing education to create sustainable change in the lives of the people in the Dominican Republic. About 4 years ago, we saw a need for education for women and young girls who were pregnant. The lack of education is astounding. So, We found a curriculum and a program and that is an Earn While You Learn program. So the women come once a week, and once they find out they're pregnant, and they go through classes and learning about themselves, about their babies, and how to care for them. When they do this, I say Earn While You Learn because they earn points when they come. So they earn points for coming to class, coming on time because it's a warm climate. Being on time is not a usual thing. They come for doing their, they get points for doing their homework and going to see their doctor and stuff. And then when they have their baby, they have enough points that they can get from our baby boutique all of the things that they need for their baby, from blankets and clothes to diapers and so on. But it gives our staff the opportunity to speak into each one of those girls' lives. They counsel them, they talk to them, they have Bible studies with them, and they develop wonderful mothers. And in most of the cases, not all, but in most of the cases, they develop women of God. So Jenny, on this next slide here, Jenny is a young mother of age of 22 who came to our center with pregnant with her second child, which is the one in the picture. Very low self-esteem. She came from a broken family, left her home early, and was working on the streets, met a man and had her first child. She was still with him, which is a big thing, but she didn't get to finish her education and stuff. And she didn't think she was doing a really good job of raising her first child, so she was very concerned about her new baby and about her marriage at the time as well. She went to the pregnancy center thinking, okay, I'm going to get some things that I need for the baby. I don't have any money. I don't know what to do. And she got a lot more. So her story is when she walked in, she was very surprised. First of all, when you see a pregnancy center or you see an operation like this, you expect to see North Americans there teaching and doing their things. But as Phil had said earlier, that's not the case. We have Haitian and Dominicans doing the teaching and stuff. And the other thing that she was surprised about was the fact that both Haitians and Dominicans were taking classes together. Now, just a little explanation about that. Haiti and the Dominican share the same island, but there's a border, and they don't get along that well. There's a lot of Haitians, I won't go into all the politics, but there's a lot of Haitians living in our area, but they're undocumented and so on. And they don't cooperate that well. So when she came in and saw them going to classes together, teaching together, respecting each other, it was huge. She said it was a big deal. Anyway, Jenny went through our program, our baby program, had a healthy baby, as you can see there. She's about this tall now, so it's really cool. And she became a dedicated woman of God. She became a teacher in the program, and now she's the director of our pregnancy center. I think her self-esteem has kind of gone up a little bit. She has completed high school and is now studying English and taking university courses. So her life, her husband's life, her family life has changed completely. It's very amazing to see the changes in the girls. It's not just about getting things. A lot of the young girls, that's what they're looking for, is they're looking for things. Oh, I'll come in and get something. Many of them are poor and they don't have the basics. One of our board members said it the other day, he said, they don't come to the center looking for Jesus, but they find him anyway. So it's really cool. We're going to show you another video of a young lady who was struggling with her pregnancy, and you'll hear what it's about. But she found hope.
Wow, hey. I don't know about you, but I think that's a miracle. Tried over and over again to abort her baby, but it just did not happen. You know, I don't know what God has in store for that little guy, but I can't help but feel that there is something. Amen? You know, this morning we're talking about God calling us to do different things and you know, follow him and so he called my wife and I to do work in the Dominican, and it's like, what does that mean? And how do we do this? And what do we do? And we do it because God asks you. We run programs because we feel that that's what's needed in the community. But why we do it is because of people like that. Amen? There's a lot of hurting people out there that really need your help. And God can bring them across in front of you every day in many different shapes and forms. One of the ways that we support this program is our Change for Change program. Now, something that Pastor said earlier is we give everybody one of these bottles, and you're supposed to fill it full of money. No, I'm kidding. This is just an example. But wouldn't it be great? There'll be more details on that. We're leaving a packet with the pastor, and he'll be sharing more details about that. But in essence, what it is we have people that want to take part in supporting women, you know, like this, to be able to just take their loose change from Mother's Day to Father's Day, collect it for that short period of time, 5 or 6 weeks, and then bring that in as a contribution to support the pregnancy center. It's one of the main ways that we support that particular program that God has given us. And you know, in 3 years now, we've been running the Donica's Dream. 4 years, we've had over 300 women come through the program. Over 300 women. Currently, we have about 50 women in the program, and we have people waiting to come in, but we just don't have the resources to run more programs at this time. So anything that can be done like this at all will help us reach even more women with the situation that they're in, and be able to minister into these ladies' lives. You know, and I mean, here's a prime example of somebody who came to the pregnancy center, like Donna said, and our board member said. You know, she didn't come there looking for Jesus. She came there looking for help. But what did she find? She found Jesus as well. Amen? Donna.
I'll just add another little thing. We have, for any of you walkers, runners, we have a 5K. We had our first one last fall. We're having another one in October this year in Bridgewater, starting from our office. So if anybody's interested, let me know, and I'll get you some information. All you walkers, I'm going to be in it. Just saying. Children in the Dominican Republic, like children all over the world, and children here, are often asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? Aren't you? You're asked that quite a bit. What do you want to be when you grow up? Their answers are very similar to the ones here. They want to be a doctor, they want to be a fireman, they want to be a lawyer, they want to be a nurse, anything like that. But in the Dominican, life happens. After moving town to town, school to school, not having the money to buy your uniform or books for school. And when you get to attend school in the public school, it's usually overcrowded. Teachers don't have, they struggle to get the basics done, taught, and let alone the special treatment. Eventually, their dream dies. There's nothing worse than having your child's dream die, that they want to do something, but they know that it's not going to happen. When we opened our school, I'm going to show you a picture of the school now in 2010. I think you worked on that, didn't you, you guys? In 2010, it was painfully aware of some of the problems with the education system in the Dominican. Children were coming to us at the age of 13 and 14, unable to read and write. You'll see the school there. There's a big addition. You wouldn't have seen that. It's changed quite a bit. But you would recognize the rocket there. See the red rocket car? Still driving, still kicking today.
Three motors later.
Three motors later. It still carries 8 to 10 people. So we've been running our school since 2010. But we have seen a lot of kids come in at age 13, 14 in a grade 2 level. Some of them don't have any education. Very much like Nielke, I'll show you the next slide, this little guy who came to us just a couple years ago in grade 4, and he'd been shuffled around so much, and he missed some of those basics in reading. You know, if you don't have the basics or have the beginning of reading and writing, you miss it. He received some extra help with the after-school program they developed, and this year he's graduating from our grade 6, ready to go on to high school. But he was, I think, 14 or something when he came in at grade 4. So we now have about 300 kids in our sponsorship program that includes our school and after-school programs. And we have about 55 of those kids are not sponsored. So if you're interested in sponsoring a child, meet me afterwards and I can introduce you to some. You might recognize this next lady on the next screen. Oh, no, there's some of our kids. That was a special thank you that went out to the sponsors. We didn't use that one, but he's pretty cute. All three of them are pretty cute in there. This lady you might recognize.
Oh, this is the apron lady. That's what the kids affectionately know her as. Of course, you know her as Emmeline, and I know her as Emmeline Ettinger Schrader, but... You know, and I know that her and Pastor Jim spent a few years here and so on. But she goes to the Full Gospel Church on Larry UTech, and she stands at the back of the church one Sunday every month, and the little kids run up to her and they stuff money in her pockets. And through that, they support 5 children at her school program. So they have 5 children sponsored in the Hugs for Kids school program by this one lady standing at the back of the church one Sunday every month and collecting donations to support that program. And so we very much appreciate Emmeline and what she's doing for the children, and just God bless her for that.
Just one other sentence is our sponsors are giving back, giving our children their dreams back.
SHM Relief and Development. This is a program that we developed, the next slide here, is a program that we developed by going into communities, and we basically help people with their situation, with their needs, and so on. One of the communities that we've been working in for the last 5 years or so is Loma de los Chivos, and we have some big plans there and some exciting news to announce, so we're just going to show a video now about that program and what's happening there. And No, that's not what was on the video earlier. We're just going to hang on here. I'm going to tell you a few jokes, maybe some other things, entertain you while we're waiting. There is words on this. That's okay. If we can't get the sound, we'll skip the video. So what we're doing in Loma de los Chivos, if you want to go to the next slide, we'll actually show some of the conditions that people are actually living in there. Let it play out. All right. So over the next couple of minutes, you're going to see some really neat stuff. Look at that. What a beautiful home. That was built by three teams, one from Bridgewater, one from Ontario, and one from somewhere else. I can't remember. What? Well, some of it, I guess. I want to thank Philip. That's an important line. sorry. The lady's in the video there. Her name is Ruth. And there I am talking in English. If you could read lips, you could understand what I was saying. Basically, I'm saying thank you very much. We really appreciate your help. If I remember correctly. I don't know. And you were thinking the pastor was having problems with technology earlier, hey? Yeah, so that's Loma de los Chivos. And in Loma de los Chivos, we've been working there about 5 years. And we went in originally to build houses and to help people in their living conditions. And the slide that you're going to see coming up is conditions that a lot of the people in the community actually live in. And so, you know, when we first came across this family, this is a husband and wife. They had four kids at the time. They've since had a fifth. And, I mean, just terrible living conditions. Working hard, trying to get ahead. They've got a few blocks. You can see them laying along the side of the building so that they could start construction and fixing up their home. But they've been working at this for 5 or 6 years, and their daughter had epilepsy. And they didn't have a medical program. They didn't have any type of a plan to help them with the cost of that. So every extra cent really went into trying to buy medication for their daughter. And so we came alongside of them when we went into the community, and we said, well, we're going to see what we can do to help you out. And so the next slide you're going to see is the house that they ended up with after, like I said, there were two or three teams that came down to work alongside of us to really provide this family with a new home. When you do something like this for a family, right? I mean, the cost of this home at this time was about $8,000 Canadian. Not a lot of money, right? Really, seriously. When we think about our economy, $8,000 completely changed their life. You don't only give them a home, you don't only give them security. What you do is you're bringing hope. Amen? And once that hope starts to spring up, right? It really changes the way that you can look at the world and look at what's going on around you. You know, one of the things that we found when we were there was that with hope came dreams. And with dreams, you know, came relationships and conversations. And so we developed the Loma Project. Now, the Loma Project is all about working in the community, working alongside of people in the community, helping them with the needs that they have and that they feel they would like to see changes made in. And so by coming alongside of people and having them bring their hopes and dreams to us, we're able to work with them, not for them, not do for them, but to work with them to be able to help them reach their dreams in their life. Amen? You know, it's all about relationship. It's all about that person that you go down to Tim Hortons and you buy that coffee, and they're across the counter from you, and they may be having a bad day. It's about that smile that you know, give them and say, hey, no problem. It's all good. You know what I mean? You don't react out of you don't return anger with anger. Amen? As Christians, we're to be God's light into the community, into the world, right? And so as Christians, we're down here in the Dominican Republic, and we're working in this community, and there's a lot of hurting people. And so they brought their hopes and dreams to us. So we developed a program, and this next slide you're going to see, this is Kelvin and Wendy, an amazing Dominican couple that have come to work with us in the last couple of years. Kelvin's a guy who looks after our teams and manages all the logistics and makes sure that you get to go where you need to go, you have what you need to work with, and that you're looked after while you're there working alongside of us. Wendy is the lady who's kind of in, and she's actually directing the Loma Project, which is our after-school program in the community. The after-school program is in direct response to what the community has told us, what they feel their needs are. We have another video we're going to shoot for right now, and we're going to, So let's try and play that next one. Responding to the needs that God puts before you is extremely important. Amen? So where we went into Loma to build houses, like I said, we built relationships. And through building relationships, people opened up and they started talking to us about what they felt was lacking in their community. And so we respond to that. And so some of the things that we've come up with is we started out in different phases. The next slide you're going to see is a women's discipleship training program that we implemented, because we knew that, in all honesty, in that community, the women were the people who were going to be able to really make a change within their community on an educational and on a spiritual level. Okay, so we started a women's discipleship training program. We spent a year working with about 20 women. And out of that came several women who are working in the program today, working alongside of our staff, helping us and in the different things that we do. We bring teams in and we do things like sports programs. So the next slide you're going to see is children just playing soccer and having a good time, right? And then we also bring in VBS programs. So the next slide is a team from, these guys are actually, this is Pam and Andrew, but they were in Ontario at the time, and they've since moved to Bathurst and are pastoring in the church there. But they brought a team down, and they were doing a VBS program right in the community with the children, right alongside of the ladies that were working and coming through our discipleship training program. So you see the pattern here? You know, we're working together with the people in the community to help them. After-school programs. So this is an after-school teaching that we have brought into the system. We have about 78 kids now in Loma in our after-school program. And they're doing things like sports programs, art programs, but also we're supplementing their education because the public school system there really is lacking in a number of areas. And so we've got kids that are coming into the program because they need help with their reading, their writing, their social studies, and so on. The next slide you're going to see is a family that really were struggling. So they came to the after-school program, and part of the program gives them the resources they need to go to public school because unlike here, you know, it costs a lot of money to send a kid to school here, right? They have to buy uniforms, they have to buy shoes, they have to buy their materials that they need to work with and so on. Otherwise, they cannot attend school. And so for years, she was choosing one or two kids to be able to go out of her five kids, you know? And that's a tragedy when you have to sit and choose out of your five children which two are going to go to school. So now all five kids are able to go to school. And with the help of the after-school program, they're actually graduating from one class to the next, knowing what they need to know and receiving a quality education. Isn't that amazing? Part of the after-school program as well is discipleship for the kids. You know, the VBS programs, teaching the kids about Jesus and that he is the one that is really the true answer in your life. Then we have another program that we've just started. And Donna, did you want to talk about I Am Different?
The I Am Different program was started a couple years ago. Young girls in the Dominican are destined for a life of prostitution. Like Jenny was, had low self-esteem and feeling that she has no value. So the leaders of the community knew that they needed to do something to break that cycle of prostitution and poverty by teaching and training the young girls to value themselves. That's why it's called I Am Different. They don't have to follow that norm in that country. So they're learning to see that God sees them as precious. And they've been making so many inroads with these girls. They started with one program with about 20 girls, and now they just started another one with 30 more girls.
And they also bring in the moms at the same time. So they got 30 women, 30 moms, and 30 new girls all doing the training. And we had someone actually in a community 20 minutes away or whatever, was related to one of the girls in our community, and they've approached our staff and said, can you show us how to do that program? Can we get that curriculum? Because we are seeing the difference in the girls in Loma, and we want that for our girls in our community as well. So it has gone far beyond even just in that area, and they're starting another I Am Different program in another community that has nothing to do with us, which is awesome. So I'll let you go from there.
I was just in the Dominican a couple of weeks ago working with the staff there, and we actually purchased a property in Loma to have a permanent home for for our community center there, and we're so excited about the work that's being done there. It's just watch for updates, please. But this next slide is about a young lady, and she's part of the I Am Different program. And while I was there, I was talking to Wendy, and I was just asking her how things were going and so on. And remember, it's about relationship. Amen? So she went to the community center one day. She would get there about a half an hour early to do some preparation, and she was just going over some paperwork and just, you know, trying to get lined up for what they wanted to do that day with the kids. And this young lady came in who'd been part of the I Am Different program. And she came in and she said hi. And she said, hi, how you doing? She said, good. And she rushed up to her and she grabbed her and she hugged her. And then she cried for about 20 minutes. And when she stopped, you know, Wendy, you know, talked to her and said, you know, what's wrong? And she said, well, I want to tell you about me, myself. When she was 8 years old, she'd been molested by her mother's boyfriend. And she went and she told her mother. And her mother said, you're lying. And so she made her pack her clothes in a little backpack, and she put her on a bus, and she sent her 4 hours away to live with her father. So she gets to Puerto Plata area where we are, and it's about 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and she didn't have a clue where her father lived. Now she's 8 years old. So an older gentleman saw her and said, you know, what are you doing here? Like, why are you out wandering the streets at night? What's going on? So she told him that she was looking for her father, and she told him his name, and he managed to find him and get her to her father. She's now 13 years old. She's never seen her mother since. So at 8 years of age, she's rejected by her mother for something that was completely not her fault, and she's sent off to live with her father. Now, here she is, 13 years old. She's in the I Am Different program. And this young lady is prime for going down the wrong path. All she wants is acceptance. She's been rejected once by somebody who is very close to her. And she will take what she feels is love and compassion from almost anybody. But Wendy, in the I Am Different program, and what we're trying to do with these young girls is changing her life. That's why we do what we do. It's about people, right? It's about meeting people where they're at. It's about loving them. It's about teaching them that Jesus is the only way, and that they have so much more to offer than to just try and find acceptance and love wherever they can. Amen? And it's our responsibility as Christians to help people. Right? Can you imagine if, you know, God forbid this young lady somebody knew her story and she was acting out that she was shunned by people because she just wasn't, you know, a good girl. That's not what Jesus did. Right? Jesus met the lady at the well, didn't he? Jesus went and had lunch with Zacchaeus, didn't he? Isn't it our responsibility to do the same? We have an amazing group of people working alongside of us that have such love and compassion for the people that God has placed before them. It's absolutely amazing. And we're seeing lives changed, one at a time. So thank you for allowing us to come this morning and share about what God has given us to do. We have child sponsorship programs. We have Change for Change coming up. I don't want to cheapen what we've talked about here this morning, but we need your help. And if God lays it upon your heart, then thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Pastor.
I'll make this one work. Thank you very much, Phil and Donna. Appreciate your presentation. Appreciate that photo that you dug up from I don't know where. That has to have been 10 years ago, March 2008, when Mandy and I were there. Why didn't you get one of Mandy? Because she took them all, eh? There's a couple that I've got somewhere of Mandy. And yes, we laid cement the bottom floor of that church that you saw, Iglesia Dios Christos. And I messed up my Spanish every time that I'm there. So you guys will have to train me again. But thank you very much. And we will have information about the Change for Change fundraiser. And if there's something that you would like to participate in, I think that would be a fantastic way to support the Pregnancy Resource Center by simply saving your spare change from Mother's Day to Father's Day. And so I will bring more information. We will kick that off on Mother's Day, and we will collect it all and celebrate that on Father's Day as a way to support what is going on. So thank you so much for everything. Before we leave this morning, I'd like us just to gather around and pray for them. Donna has to go in for hip surgery this week, which is one of the reasons they're spending some extended time in Canada, because that's not a surgery that she can get or probably wants to get in the Dominican Republic. She would probably prefer to get that in Canada. And so you'll be going in on Tuesday, I believe. Wednesday, exactly. So if you guys could come over here, I'll invite our deacons and their wives and anyone else who would like to come gather around them. We'll pray for their ministry. We'll pray for Donna. And then you can also speak with them in the foyer if you'd like to after our service closes as well in just a moment. So our deacons and their wives, if you're able to make it on up. And then anyone else that would just like to gather around as we thank them and appreciate the ministry they do, and as we also pray for Donna for the upcoming surgery and the recovery as well.